In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is from the Gospel of Matthew, and we will read it from chapter 6, beginning from verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Dear brothers and sisters, we have come to our spring services here in Wolf Lake. Thank you for the warm welcome, Phil, and thank you, congregation, for inviting me here. My wife did not make it here. She went to the mother's camp at Stony Lake, and our kids then went to family and friends' places, so I'm here alone. But it looks like I don't need to be alone, but I can be together with brothers and sisters in faith. And that's a wonderful thing. You might have noticed that I tried to sneak in a little bit late. I left work early. I was well on my way to be here on time. Until I got a call from a vendor, and they are machining some parts that I need for my processes at work, and well, I couldn't figure it out just over the phone, so I had to stop to a restaurant and open my laptop and take a look at the part file and get into the details and nitty-gritty to be able to tell them when they build it and when it finally ships, it's at least about what we would need to have. Here Jesus teaches us about what is important in this life. And you know, when I came here, it just comforted me that when I came and sat down. And you may well picture my thoughts of feeling pretty sheepish of being late for services. well, it might be sheepish of being late on services, just coming to listen, but if you even have to speak, maybe it just doubles the feeling when in my doubts and in my fears, I doubt it. I think that when dear brother preached the gospel, it came much in need. And I think, my brother and sister, you have felt the same at the services of God's children when you have heard the gospel message being preached. Even though I knew that I still am a child of God, even if I'm late for services, even though I'm speaking, but nevertheless, when the gospel word of God's kingdom can touch the heart, it brings comfort. So now it's very nice to be here, and we can be by Jesus' feet. Our Lord and Savior wants to teach us, and if we left now already, I think we could say that we have been well fed, and God has opened the word through brothers Phil and Tim, and it has been nice to be here. But if you have a little bit of patience, maybe we will consider these words of Jesus here. I was looking at you boys and girls here who were so nicely sitting when the speakers were speaking. It was nice to see. And I'm glad that you have come to services to hear the word of God. And it's okay if a little bit of a cry of a baby is heard, that's okay too. But we do remember very well when Jesus was holding services and he reminded the disciples who were the honored guests. He told the disciples, rather than bringing them away, he said to them that, suffer the little children come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. So, as children of God, together we can be here at services and we can study the word that Jesus once spoke. It's related to Jesus' teaching of two masters. He before our text, he said that no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. He's pretty picky about that. He is not giving much leeway there. Jesus is speaking here of who is the love of your heart. Is it the mammon of this life and everything that comes with it? Or is it God? I think that it's probably okay, and not only okay, but very much recommended in the Bible, in the Word of God, that we who are capable and in the age of it, that we would work. And if it takes for stopping at the restaurant to get some part file figured out, well, that's probably okay too, because we have our temporal duties. And we are to do our jobs. There were some, I think it was in Thessalonica, if I don't remember wrong, where there were some who thought that since Jesus had died and resurrected, that now there was not even need for people to go to work anymore. And Apostle Paul, as you could imagine, had some words of wisdom for them, and he said, no, you should be eating the bread that you earn yourself. If you are in that kind of ability and age and position. Of course, not everyone can work and then others can help out. But also the Word of God teaches us to elsewhere to go and look at an ant and gives a word, and that's a word for you boys and girls who are studying hard and looking to get your profession and finding what it might be. The Word of God teaches us to go and take a look at an ant. And the picture there is that nobody is telling the ant what to do, but nevertheless he's busy doing the things he's doing. It's okay to be diligent, and it's good to be diligent in our temporal duties, so we can care for ourselves and our families, and then also the society and community. I think here in Wolf Lake you do work, and through that work the community can then thrive, and it can be a nice place for people to live in. I know that it's a little different time now. Before, it used to be that everyone wanted to go into big cities, and now I think Wolf Lake and you here have seen the kind of the opposite, where different types of work arrangement and ability to work remotely allows people to then move back to more rural areas, and that's a very nice thing for people who, like me, who am from a farm country, really yearn that kind of a peaceful countryside living. Jesus is not teaching here that we shouldn't work. But what he is teaching is that we would not need to be overly concerned. Do we sometime get pulled into the things of this world with that thought that I'm going to make a name for myself, to the detriment sometime of the family or even could be a life of faith? That's what Jesus here is talking about. Then he says that, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. A better translation for that would be, do not be overly anxious. I think I had to stop because I was thinking about next week on my way here, and well, probably 2 weeks from now when the parts can be manufactured and shipped to our plant. Forward planning is ability that us humans are able to do. It is very nice even in the work of the kingdom when we plan for the work and the congregations plan their work and create schedules. There's a pretty big plan taking shape in our congregation. And I want to bring lots of greetings from brothers and sisters in Elk River. We could say that in now then, God is building a house. Because Psalm writer says that unless the Lord built the house, the workers are working in vain. But we have seen the blessing of God when the willing members of the congregation have taken on the duty and the work is going well. And I don't know, maybe later this year we might have services there. God only knows. But he has blessed. But boy, when I take a look at the plans that these guys who are leading the project have there, it goes into quite detail. But yet nothing happens unless the Lord is with and gives his blessing. And God is quite amazing because he also says in his word that he sends his rain to the just and unjust alike. He blesses even the work of those who do not believe. Our co-workers, their work gets blessed. God himself gave the duty for humans after sin fall, that with the sweat of your forehead you will earn your living. And I don't know that it has changed since. The ways we do work nowadays, maybe we don't need to sweat so much. I know in my work sometimes it's a little cold sweat when things are not quite working out as well as I was hoping for. But that duty and work we still have, whether we are believers or unbelievers. But Jesus here is teaching to, well, what is he teaching here? He's talking about take no thought or don't be overly concerned for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat and the body than raiment? Is not the life that God has given, it's more than meat's eye. It's more than the meat that we eat. And the body that he has given, it's more than the raiment by which we clothe it. And then, he is speaking there by the Sea of Galilee, close to Capernaum. People are gathered around him, and right next to him are the disciples, gathered the closest to him, but then there are many others who hear the word. And when I read that this text, I can't help but seeing a beautiful sunny day with a little breeze of wind, and maybe the waves of Lake Genesaret show the reflection of the sun shining from there. The Bible doesn't tell that. I don't know. But it just seems like a fitting backdrop to what Jesus is teaching. And when people look around, what do they see? They see the fields. They see the grass. They see the flowers of the field. They see the birds flying around. And they hear them chirping. Jesus teaches, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. There are many here maybe who are either farmers now or have been farmers before or grew up in a farm. Well, you knew what happened in the spring. It was time to start sowing. And even preparation the fall before, preparation for the future summer's harvest and work. And Jesus is talking about the birds that the listeners are able to see and hear. And he reminds that they don't even sow. They don't even reap. And they don't gather in the barns. But yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. I was recently on a mission trip to Ecuador. And lots of greetings of God's peace and love from them. Their little flock of God's children endeavors to believe together with us in God's kingdom. They remember us here in America. And they, many, many of them, I think maybe all of them that I met said that, bring lots of greetings. But when I went there the first night, it was already night time. I could not hear anything, but I could not see anything because it was dark. But I could hear. It was as if the paradise birds were singing a beautiful, beautiful song down in Southern America, in the middle of a black night. Beautiful song of a bird. And then also, I want to bring greetings from Finland. I went there just a couple of weeks ago. My dad had an 80-year birthday, so I wanted to be there. I also went to some services there, and they also send greetings from there. But what do I see in Finland? I see the birds. And this time I know that's a talitiainen or that's a varpunen. They did not have paskunens yet, swallows. But I could point out what those birds were, because I got to know what they were when I grew up. And they were singing beautifully. And I come back to bit late. I had to send a little video of our yard to my siblings in Finland. I told them that I guess the birds sing here too. I woke up to a beautiful morning sunshine, and the birds were singing, and they had been singing for quite some time before I even woke up. Every place where the birds were singing, they were singing because of God and His creation. And they were able to sing because God had been taking care of them. I remember watching birds in a very special place here, there in Menaka. Your longtime congregation members, Albert and Beatrice Hadia, they had a love for birds and seek looking what is out there in the nature. And I remember looking through the window of their kitchen at some birds, and Beatrice would be telling all about those birds and their names and what, how they behaved and such. She was looking at the birds, and I think you see the birds in your homes. Jesus tells of all of these birds, behold, and He tells us to go and look at the birds. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And then, what He's teaching us, are ye not much better than they? Don't you think that so much more will your heavenly Father care for you than what He does for all these birds that you are able to see? And then Jesus asks, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Which of us can do something about either our height, how tall we are, or when is the last day for us in this earth? That is, both of those can be taught here. And both of them are a very fitting teaching for us. How much can we do? Jesus teaches us to put our reliance in God. And then He goes on and doesn't talk only about the birds. He continues on and you can picture, even you little boys and girls, you can picture the big crowd of people there by a lake on a hilly mountainside or hillside. Maybe grass is growing and such. And Jesus continues why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And I think this Jesus is now talking about maybe some of you ladies know better. Is this a picture of making yarn? By toil not and spin. Those are some old ways of making yarn. I saw in Ecuador a lady in a marketplace. She was pulling something from what seemed like a big fuzzy ball, and she was taken with one hand doing something and with her other hand doing something else, and the end result was just beautiful looking yarn. Jesus here is talking about lilies and our clothing. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies, the little flowers on the field that they were able to see there. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They are not able to do any of that to clothe themselves to be what they are. But yet, Jesus says, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Jesus opens our eyes to see. In the mind of man, nobody was clothed like Solomon hundreds of years ago. the mighty King, the mighty, mighty King. But Jesus says, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these flowers of the field. Jesus is talking about God, the Creator, and how He cares for His creation. It's not by chance that the flowers are the way they are. God has created all. It's not by chance that my brother and sister, you have better sit right there where you do sit. God has His hands in it. And He has seen it good that from out of the many, many, He has called you to be His child. We will never, ever be able to thank God enough for that. We will never, ever be able to. Maybe once when we are in heaven and God gives us new tongues to thank Him. But here on this earth, with the way we are, no. Our thanks to God is lacking. But God, out of His pure love and care for us, has cared for us so much that today we can be here and hearing His word in our heart have hope of one day being in heaven's home. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass, so that it looks like it does, the beautiful little that in its raiment that God gave it is more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. Jesus teaches that if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, doesn't that almost seem like waste? Where God creates such a beautiful flower, and then in Jesus' words, tomorrow it's cast in the oven, but yet for that day, it allows the flower to blossom for that moment. He also allows a human to blossom in the time of youth, and then age comes, and older age comes. And God allows even an elderly to blossom in a way that He sees good. God is a good God, and He has given us, as we heard already, I think it was in the opening welcome, that God is the giver of all good gifts. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, or don't be overly anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek? And why is it so? Jesus says that for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. It's not like we somehow have no regard for this world anymore, like Thessalonians were erringly thinking, and Paul had to correct them on that. And even Jesus, in the same very same gospel, when He's speaking on to the Satan who is tempting Him, and He says that man, don't you know that in the Word of God it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He wasn't saying that we don't need bread. If we wouldn't have gotten any bread or anything to eat today, well, I don't think it's starting to be almost 8:30. I don't think there would be anyone here left. You would have been needed. We need that for the day. Right before this text, Jesus is also teaching how to pray
And think about that. He teaches the prayer that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, may your name be revered. Thy kingdom come, may your kingdom come, and we know what Luther says about that. It would come also for me. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then, he reminds us that, yes, we can pray. Even in our temporal duties and things, we can pray to God. Give us this day our daily bread. Think about that. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay, and it's good. Young children and little children and young people, that you pray to God that your studies could be successful and you would have strength to study. And then when you go to work, that you would learn the things that you need at work so that you can keep a job. And it's okay, moms and dad, to pray for Heavenly Father. It's good to pray that you have given us enough for this day. Thank you for that. We ask that you would also provide for us tomorrow too. We can pray to God for our future. Jesus says later, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. We don't need to be overly anxious about tomorrow. We can pray to God that He can bless us and protect us tomorrow. And God will. Because why? Because that bird in Ecuador, even that rooster that did not know what he was doing, rooster was singing, or I don't know what you call that song, but I was just about to get to sleep. It was 2 o'clock at night, and the cock crow, the rooster, began its song. But even that, God cares for. And the birds in Finland, and here in Wolf Lake, and there in Menaga at the bird feeder. God has taken care of all that. Don't need to be overly concerned about tomorrow, because Jesus says, tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus teaches us to, even though we do have plans and we have prayers and aspirations for the future, He teaches us that, well, we still have today. And we don't even know if we have tomorrow. And sufficient unto every day going forward is the evil thereof. Tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. When God blesses, things will work out just fine. That is what we can trust in. That's what Jesus is teaching here. And then Jesus is teaching us that if we would not be so overly concerned about these temporal matters, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed, in what kind of a house do I live in? I think we could add that here. I think that fits very well into the teaching. Do I have that summer cabin yet, or my friend, family member have such a nice one? And many, many things. And it's fine to look for things that bring us joy in this life. What Jesus is teaching here is that don't let it be your master. After all, that's how he began. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. I think, brothers and sisters, when we are gathered here before his face, I think our desire is that we love God more than mammon. And we have God be our master, not the mammon and whatever is in this life. Jesus says that, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. He knows that we need. He even teaches us to pray. But then, what does he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The listeners who were maybe listening to Jesus the first time were maybe wondered, what is this kingdom of God? What is this righteousness? The disciples for whom the same word was meant were able to think there, and I believe that maybe in their heart they would feel, that's right. Not in a way as if seeking, like, I don't know where the kingdom of God is, because a child of God already is in the kingdom of God. But in seeking is being valuing it and keeping that to be, when Jesus is saying, don't seek for these, what should we eat or what should we drink. Don't seek that. Don't let that be the one guiding principle in your life. But no, he begins to talk about that which he spoke a lot about. Remember, Matthew oftentimes records Jesus as speaking about the kingdom of heaven. And then other gospel writers relate Jesus' words as the kingdom of God. The Pharisees once asked Jesus, when will the kingdom come? And what will be the sign of it? And Jesus had to tell them that kingdom of God doesn't come in that way that it can be said that it's there and here or there. But he reminded them, the kingdom of God is within you. It is here already. It is in the people who have the Holy Spirit in their hearts. That's not where Jesus exactly said those words, but other scripture portions teach us that kingdom of God is there where God as a king rules in the hearts of the believers. Old brothers, very correctly used to say that it goes from, that boundary of the kingdom of God goes from heart to heart. And think about this. The greatest of all treasure to have in this life is that, my brother and sister, the kingdom of God can be in your heart. Its King, Jesus Christ, can dwell in there. Holy Spirit unites you together to the congregation of God here on earth. And there's the other part of the kingdom who already has passed away from this life in the kingdom of glory. But we are left here into the paddling congregation. And Jesus teaches, and it must have felt still comfortable for the disciples, that Jesus thought that seek ye first the kingdom of God. Of all of these things, let your heart be attached to the kingdom of God. And then he also continues, and his righteousness. The righteousness of God is something that can be gifted from the kingdom of God. We have that learned from the Bible. And it is the teaching of Jesus. When Jesus walked the streets of Nazareth and streets of Capernaum, Mark tells about it. He goes right into the mission work of Jesus when he begins the gospel. That Mark teaches that so how Jesus walked on the streets, and he said, kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the gospel. we heard from our dear brother a Bible portion where people were asking Jesus that who can forgive sins but God. And I think there Jesus then told to ask those people, I missed the part of the sermon, so you might have covered it, but he asked them that the people that, is it easier to say to this man that pick up your bed, rise up and pick up your bed and walk, or to say that your sins are forgiven? Remember again, a paralyzed man, suffering of palsy, was it so full that he had never walked, or I can't remember that. But anyway, they knew he's not able to walk. And Jesus asks them and probes them and says that, what do you think is easier to say? Or was it more difficult? I can't remember. What people were able to see, the Pharisees, that the man stood up and walked. But believers were able to understand from that person truly received his sins forgiven from Jesus Christ. Who is God and is man? Both. But then when Jesus suffered and died and rose victorious, and then he appeared unto his own, there was something that he wanted to leave back, and we heard about that already here. He blew on them that receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. He left the gospel to be preached from his kingdom, from the lips of regular people like you and me. And boy, are we ever blessed, dear brothers and sisters, that it is true yet tonight. So that, my brother and sister, no matter what has been your regular work week's challenge and difficulty, temptation, whatever has been the sin that has attached into your heart, I can bring greetings from heaven. I can bring greetings from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. With the power that he has given to me and has given to you. And the greetings is this, that you can uplift your heart. And you can believe that all of your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. You can be of good cheer. You can continue as a child of God on this path. That comes with struggle at times, but it has an end. It has an end. And the end of this path will be in heaven's home. That's why it is important. That's why Jesus has to teach us that, look, even out into the field and birds and flowers, God will care for you. All of these things will be given unto you, because God knows even before you ask that you have need of this. But in all of your seeking, what you seek in your life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Jesus has a promise for us. It's such a promise that we can rely on even tonight. God will add everything else upon it. He will bless, because he blesses the little birdie and he blesses the little flower. Do we think that he would not be able to care for us? He says that shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? I think we are very much like the disciples and other listeners. Yep, we hear it from the Bible. Yep, that's the teaching of Jesus. Yep, we forget about it. That's why it's good that we come and we gather and we hear His word again and be reminded of it. My brothers and sisters, can you also forgive all of my sins? I want to believe together with you, and you can remain believing happily that your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And God will bless us and continue to bless all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us join in the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.